Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. One feature of the national controversy over policing after Ferguson in 2014 was images of militarized police on American streets, in heavy armor, driving heavy vehicles. In May of 2015, President Obama banned the military from sending surplus hardware to state and local police forces. Then, on Monday, at a Fraternal Order of Police conference in Nashville, Tennessee, Attorney General Jeff Sessions had this news from his boss, President Trump.
He is rescinding restrictions from the prior administration that limited your agency's ability to get equipment through federal programs, including life-saving gear.
What the Attorney General just said there means that police departments will again have access to Humvees and armored personnel carriers and other equipment. It's another in the long list of Obama administration actions President Trump has overturned. Dr. Cedric Alexander is deputy mayor of Rochester, New York. He was director of public safety in DeKalb County, Georgia, and served on President Obama's task force on 21st century policing. Dr. Alexander, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
The ban on selling military equipment to police departments came after America watched a lot of this gear on the streets in Missouri and elsewhere after Ferguson. What did you think of the Obama administration's decision to ban those sales a couple of years ago to police departments?
Well, first of all, they weren't sales. Those were surplus items that was taken for the military in previous years and given to police departments who wanted it. Following Ferguson, I think many of us would agree that the optic of what we saw, militarized vehicles and equipment used against American citizens exercising their First Amendment rights, created a great deal of pause and concern for a lot of people across the country. And, of course, there we also have to keep in mind, Todd, that we also live in a very different time today. And it does require that our police officers are protected. It requires that they need equipment to go out there to make rescues against those subjects who may be foreign or domestic terrorists who come very heavily armed with assault rifles and equipment that could do harm. So we certainly do want our police departments to be protected, but we certainly have to give some real thought as to when we utilize that equipment. And what I have always said, if President Trump is going to introduce this equipment back to police departments across the country, it becomes important that we make sure we have training on that equipment. We have policy that is written that will describe when, where, and how this equipment will be used. And you must allow the community to have some input, to sit down with the chiefs and elected officials and talk about when is that type of equipment best introduced. Because what we cannot have is military-style equipment or anything that gives the appearance of military-style equipment roaming the streets of American cities merely because there's some civil unrest. American people are not going to allow that, and neither are the elected officials in those cities either.
There was a lot of fear during this debate the first time it took place a couple of years ago, as you know, that on the police department side, that having Humvees, having armed personnel carriers, having big armor, militarized the police, made them feel not like community cops, but like soldiers. Do you think that's still a danger?
If it's not utilized properly, it certainly is going to give fear and create a great deal of concern and pause of people across America. So on any given day, if you and I decide 100 people follow us out for a protest and we're merely exercising our First Amendment rights, and even if we get a little rowdy, that's no reason to bring out militarized equipment. But of course, if for some reason dangerous weapons are now introduced into that environment in a way that we need to protect officers to secure that threat and protect our citizens, and then it's good to have that equipment there. But it's when it's introduced, there's policy with it, and you have a community that's saying, yes, we want to have that type of equipment in our community to meet whatever threat is there, but it's not going to be used arbitrarily are just on a whim.
Well, Dr. Alexander, you're presenting a very balanced, kind of informed approach here, but I want to talk about the message coming from the top, because President Trump earned a lot of rebukes from a lot of law enforcement officials weeks ago when he said to police departments, you should not be too nice to suspected gang members that you apprehend, and that roughing them up would be okay. This is illegal, clearly. What's the overall message, given what the president said and given the reversal of this ban now, that the Trump administration is sending to departments, and do you approve of it?
When he made that statement a couple of weeks ago in upstate New York in Suffolk County, the inference was taken to mistreat prisoners. And if you recall, International Association Chiefs of Police, National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, and a number of other professional law enforcement agencies, including Suffolk County PD, said, hey, wait a minute. That's not how we do business as a professional police organization. So that point was made very clear. It certainly was not a good message, whether he meant it or whether, as they came along later to say, he was joking about it. When you're the commander in chief, every word comes out of your mouth, people are going to take seriously, and particularly in the context when it comes to police community relations. We have done a lot of work over the years to help build and bridge those relationships. And we have to continue to do that. But all of us have to be very careful, including the president, not to send that type of message. And then when you're saying now, a couple of weeks later, we want officers to have access to militarized equipment, we have to draw very distinct and clear lines. Is that, okay, I made a statement over here that's of grave concern. I'm making another statement in which people in the community are still very much concerned about, and that's militarized equipment. That's why I'm marking this very clearly and trying to make sure that myself and the American people understand that if militarized equipment is brought into your community, you need to have input on it. There needs to be policy. It needs to be training. But certainly that message 2 weeks ago was not a very good message, and it certainly did not work for law enforcement. And that's why you heard law enforcement across this country push back on that statement and say, wait a minute, that's not how we do business.
Dr. Cedric Alexander, Deputy Mayor of Rochester, New York, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.